Good morning, everybody. It is Friday, which is always welcome. And this Friday especially because we've brought a friend of mine in. I was talking to the producers on, what was it, Tuesday morning. They're like, oh, we're thinking of getting someone fun, someone who, who could talk about anything. And I said, well, I've got someone in mind because I actually saw you the other night. And we decided to invite our friend Benedikt Macher in. I haven't seen Ben in a while before this last night, a couple of weeks ago that I saw him. But he is an incredible and accomplished guy. And if you don't know who he is, I'm going to fill you in because he used to be very public. I mean, he used to do Formula One stuff on TV. He used to do 702. That was where we met all those years ago. Benedikt Macher started in journalism. And his first job was on 702 back in 1994. What a year to be starting with that, huh?
Yeah, indeed.
Yo, talk about your timing. also worked for Carte Blanche, Business Day, The Star, Drive Magazine. He was a Formula One presenter on Supersport, as I've said. Currently the head of communications at ABSA CIB. That's a very, very important job.
It is much more
important than journalism.
It is.
And the communication has costs if it doesn't work or if it does,
Yeah, look, I mean, reputation management, I think having been on the other side of the spectrum, you have an understanding of how to deal with media. You have an understanding of what the consequences of not managing even a simple issue, and especially in kind of the modern newsroom environment where I think we've lost a lot of the skills. We've lost a lot of staff. So newsrooms are running very thin. So you have to maintain relationships in order to manage your relationship, your reputation. But you also have to be responsive and be as open as possible to media.
Corporate communications is way more complex than old media comms used to be.
Yeah.
Because you knew you had an audience, you had news or information or entertainment to deliver. And you pleased the audience, the advertisers were happy, everything worked. Mm. But with corporate communications, you've got an extra layer of, well, there are a couple of layers of complexity that are built into this, right? And it requires someone who can honestly think on their feet, kind of like a broadcaster, which is what you also have in your repertoire. But also it needs someone who can manage some very complex situations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, especially where you are now, you also have to understand aspects of finance and economics and things like that that make it a lot more complicated. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you have to be, like I said, like a journalist, you have to be a jack of all trades and a master of a few.
Right.
So you have to, with each industry that you work in corporate comms, you have to have a basic understanding of what are the kind of the key issues in that particular industry, because you're ultimately a trusted advisor, right? Mm. So if you don't understand the business and the industry, it's very difficult for you to play that critical role. And the other thing, I guess, is also getting your principals to have a level of comfort in dealing with the media, because the media can be scary. They can be downright horrible.
Horrible, yeah. So, and there are people who make a living out of being extra horrible
on
TV, radio. Yeah,
exactly. And how do you kind of help your principals understand that, you're going to have to open yourself up to an interview. You can't control the narrative. You can, in terms of the agenda that the journalist has, you can tell your story as best as possible. And more often than not, it will come out great. Sometimes the clickbait headlines. But they need to learn to live with that because the newspaper guys are selling newspapers.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is a lot more complicated. Plus, of course, you've got the client aspect to this too. And the fact that if a bank puts out bad communications, it can affect things like the Rand.
Yeah, and
you could cost us money, Mr. Macher, if you don't do it right. So Benedikt is with us this morning. We also have Simpiwe. She's just going to take her seat. And we're going to get ready to get going this Friday morning. We've got so much to get to. And Benedikt's also got some things to say about parenting because he's a dad. And that is more complicated now, I think, than it's ever been.
Best job I've ever done.
Yeah, but still hard.
Absolutely.
It's not for sissies, right? Hey, Simpiwe, how are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I saw Simpiwe yesterday in meetings, and then we're suddenly back in the studio again this Friday morning. Oh, well, I'm ready for this weekend. I know it's only been a four-day week.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it.
Oh, not at all.
You don't sleep either, huh, Ben?
No, I don't. And, you know, I've managed for decades to get away with little sleep.
How many hours are we talking about here?
Let me tell you what happened last night.
Have you got your sleep monitor thing?
People that are serious about life.
Yeah, but Simpiwe, you're still in your 20s for a little bit. I made the terrible mistake of saying to Simpiwe the other day, are you 30? Because it was her birthday. She's like, no. She's like, I'm still 29, bitch. So just wait.
Still a youth.
Wait, your turn for sleep monitors and fitness monitors.
Can I tell you, I'm already an adult, Gareth. I take vitamins. Mm. I go to gym now. Awesome. I do have to monitor my heart rate, you know. Yeah, so, man. Hey, it's going a bit shiki-kiki.
I didn't do bad last night. I did 5 hours, 36 minutes. That's a good night for me.
I want to see if mine is even tracking. Hang on. Are we going to compare sleep? this is what old people do, Superior. All right. You ready?
Okay.
By the way, I have known Benedict long enough to call us both old people. Hey, we are.
Speak I think for that's yourself, guys.
No, come on. Don't leave me hanging out there on my own. You know it's true. Okay, so here we go. Here's my one. Where do we find this? Yeah, sleep. Mm-hmm. 3 hours, 46.
Even worse.
No. Last night was a disaster. Don't know why. No. It's very bizarre. You can't pick these things up. All right, so let's just talk about a couple of things this morning because we've got quite a lot to do. We are going to check in with another Ben. Okay. Ben Karpinski later on. We'll do some Beyond the Scoreboard, find out what's going on in the world of sport.
Formula One.
And you can throw in some Formula One.
Are you a fan? This man
knows his stuff when it comes to that. And we've got Dr. Victor popping in a little bit later on, who is just unbelievable. And I saw him in November last year playing a gig, which, I mean, I suddenly thought, wow. You don't get, you know, it's like they say, you don't make new old friends.
Mm.
You don't make great new musicians. They have to have just done it for a long time. And that's the truth with him. So we'll get to that in a moment or two. We also have some news for you this morning. There's a story about a pig kidney transplant patient who managed to get out of hospital and everything seems to be going fine. Would you take a pig's kidney?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, if you were desperate, you would.
I don't know about that.
No, come on. To live or to have the pigs...
And then quonk, quonk. All the time?
Mm-mm. No, you're not going to start. You think you're going to start making noises like a pig?
Jeez. No. Haven't you heard those stories about heart transplant patients that were successful?
And they take on the characteristics of the person.
Yes, their personality starts changing. I'm just saying, if it happens with humans.
Come on.
No,
this is some nonsense.
If it happens with humans, which has happened.
It's all in the head.
It's totally made up, Simpiwe.
It's all in your head.
And especially if it's a kidney. Kidney just filters the blood.
Mm.
You really think you'd start like oinking like a pig?
Yes!
All right, we've got some serious problems to deal with this morning. All right.
Do you know there are like doctors that can help, right?
Her with her confusion.
Yeah, kind of the standard procedure is like there's a couch. And then you can kind of relax on the couch and then, you know, you have a good discussion.
Oh, a therapist.
All right. So I just hinted at this, but you're a dad.
Yep.
And you say it's the best job ever. But parenting, I'm always interested in this when I've got someone in the studio who's a parent because there are things that
Because you're not.
Because I'm not. Of course. I've heard you parent. Well, listen. If I do have a kid, then I'm not a very good parent. I've heard you parents talk, and you do talk about this among yourselves as well. And I reckon it's harder than ever to be a dad or a mom now because there are so many other inputs into your kids' lives and minds that you don't always have authority over. And you can't control, even the best parents can't control this stuff because the world is blasting messages at young and impressionable minds 24/7.
Yeah.
And it's got to be terrifying to think about the fact that not all of those people blasting your kids with messages have good intentions. Am I right?
So Gareth, if you think about it, when we started out in radio all those years ago, right, the sources of information and news were limited. You had radio, you had television.
Mm-hmm.
I think in SA you had what you had SABC 1, 2, and 3. I don't know whether 4 was still around at some point. It kind of
we had Bob TV in and out, but we also had a little bit of Mnet Open Time later on.
And in terms of audiovisual, that was kind of it.
Yeah.
You had a whole bunch of radio stations.
But they made the radio stations by language, so it could only appeal to those people who spoke that language.
Exactly. Yeah. You had no internet. There was no social media. Whole bunch of magazines and newspapers.
If you were Zulu, for example, there were a few programs on TV for you.
Yeah.
A handful, and you listened to Ukhozi, and that was it.
And that was pretty much it.
So there was nothing
else. In terms of the volume of information and influence, it was quite limited. If you compare it to today. I mean, the volume of information is infinite. It's just, every child has got and parents with good intentions, some will tell you that, no, my child doesn't have a smartphone and whatever. But it also limits your own ability to communicate with your own children.
Sure.
Because
they're not listening to you when you're sitting right with them.
And life happens, right? It's not an environment where you've got, the perfect mom and dad, one boy, one girl. Mom stays at home and takes care of the kids while dad goes to his, job, etc. That's not the life that we've lived in. And in fact, that's never been the life for majority of South Africans.
Sure.
Right? That whole perfect family.
Yeah.
So both parents work. Children are at home with a nanny, sometimes if they're lucky, or with an aunt or a cousin,
grandma,
or
whatever,
grandma, yeah. or someone. You're kind of isolated from the family nucleus, right? So it the technology becomes a means within which to kind of maintain contact. And my children always often get annoyed with me because when I can't reach them. I remind them that I didn't get the phone for them to be in touch with their friends, but I got the phone so that I can reach them.
How old are your kids now?
They're grown. Hey? My eldest daughter, Didira, is almost 24. She's going to be 24 next month.
Right.
Gizzo's 21 and Lewana is 17. So, it's
and your eldest graduated recently.
She's going to graduate she's finishing her degree end of this year.
Amazing. Amazing. And daughters, huh? Extra hard work for a dad.
Yeah.
Because like every guy that you meet is like not good.
You know what? I mean, the gender thing has never really been that much of an issue in our household. You do obviously have concerns, from an external factor point of view, the way women are treated. There's issues of
especially in this country,
GBV abuse. There are those external factors which do kind of drive a level of anxiety, when the girls go out, are they safe?
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant about being a dad.
Yeah,
I'm not saying just the old, can I take your daughter out on a date? Those are the good guys now. Those are the ones you're not worried about. I'm saying when they go out and do stuff in the normal run of things and you've got to be extra careful. You just got to be extra aware.
I think you just got to try and lay a good foundation.
But that's not how we grew up. We were left to our own devices. I mean, I often have this conversation with people too. As long as I was back before the sun went down.
Oh, doesn't the street lights?
Well, all the street lights went on, but I didn't grow up in like suburbia. So as long as I was back when the sun went down, then I wouldn't get like a hiding.
Yeah.
But if I was out beyond that, they'd be like, where the hell have you been? We were worried about you. But they won't worry about me at 4 p.m. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So things have changed in that respect. But I mean, listen.
The nightlife, I'm not going to declare publicly about my nightlife as a teenager in case my mom gets to hear this podcast. But
you weren't always well behaved.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, in boarding school kids, don't send your kids to boarding school.
Because your parents think that they're safer. Pumi does the show with me on a Thursday. Her son is at boarding school. Even though he lives in Joburg, she lives in Joburg, she sends him off to boarding school and gives her a bit of a break and lets him also grow up without being like attached to the apron strings. And there are a lot of other advantages. But most parents who have a child who is in boarding school, they think, oh, well, they're safe. Everything's cool. Boarding school's the best place for them to be. But boarding school kids get up to just as much nonsense.
So I heard rumors, and that's how I shall frame it. Rumors that when we were in boarding school, there was a fire escape, right? And the fire escape door key in those days was in a little wooden box with a glass thing, you know, in case of emergency break glass.
Right.
So the rumor has it that some kids would use a screwdriver to plow open the wooden bit, take the key, go to the locksmith down the road, have a duplicate key made back, and then put it back. And then whenever there was an opportunity, you know, the fire escape door would be used to go and do stuff outside of the door. That's kind of what the rumor mill said.
Yeah, like you did this all the time.
There was actually a nightclub about, that's unbelievable to imagine this. There was a nightclub about 5 km from school, right? And it was frequented by some of my schoolmates, right? So you'd escape, go to a club, and come back at 4 o'clock in the morning in time for school.
Oh wow! And this is what age? 18. A bit younger even.
A bit before.
Yes.
It's still a rumor.
It's now become myth and legend. Jesus.
But I mean, so Gareth, you talk about how things have changed, right? So when I was at school, the school didn't even have a gate. It was...
Yeah. Open to the street.
It was open. It literally opened to the street. I recently went to school for one of the whole anniversary reunion type situations. And, you know, there's security guards, everything's locked, and it's just not the same.
Not as much fun. It isn't.
There's no escaping there, I can tell you that.
All right, well, I mean, we've got to talk about a bunch of things here with Ben this morning. So where is AI going is a big thing, and everybody's talking AI. In fact, I was just discussing this with somebody yesterday, and it's almost become like the subject that everyone talks about in order to show that they're in touch with what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it's already impacting us in so many ways. And every business is going to be touched by this eventually. Simpiwe also wants to talk about something I didn't know about until this morning. But apparently Thandiswa Mazwai is our first South African on NPR's Tiny Desk.
Yay!
Okay, tell me what's happened there.
Okay, I can't relate. But so Tiny Desk is basically where it's like a music concert. They invite various artists, and it's almost like set in a library, and then the artists kind of perform for like 15 to 20 minutes at max. And they've had like a number of big American artists. I think Usher was there, Justin Timberlake has performed, Snow Allegra has been on, and then this year, like dropped like a few days ago, Thandiswa Mazwai, the one and only, was on there, and she just killed it. I watched it and I was like, oh, goosebumps, this is nice.
That's fantastic.
So halala, halala, halala.
It's pretty cool.
Good. Yeah, I know, right? Like, shout out to her.
What's the response been so far?
Oh, all the South Africans are happy. In 2 days, she got over 200K views on YouTube. She's trending 18 globally. She's doing the thing. She's doing the things. And she dedicated her entire performance to her daughter, Malachi, I think that's her name. Okay. So that was very nice to see. So if you haven't seen it, go watch
it. But Pete says, didn't Black Coffee already do it?
No, not Tiny Desk, I think.
Oh.
Not the YouTube channel is called Tiny Desk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mapelo says, I went to a nightclub once. Once in the comments. And I realized it's not my thing. I love my sleep. Well, Mapelo, you're more disciplined than most of us. I mean, you'd really have to. Wild horses would have to drag me out of there now.
I'm on her page. Nightclubs, I mean, it was never really my scene. I just... Yeah, closed rooms, loud music.
Yeah, I saw you once or twice. Oh, listen, by the way, talking about sleep, which we were talking about just now, I saw this very, very funny ad, and I just thought it required a mention. You know, we like giving props to an ad that is cool and breaks through the noise. And this is, I think, City Lodge I mm-hmm. saw this clip and I thought it was worth looking at. Ooh. So do you want to go with the middle management, intern, or boss? Because I've actually got these little audio files. It's very clever. What do you want to do? You want to look at it from the point of view of the boss, the middle management, or the intern?
I would say
the intern.
Intern, all right.
Yeah, let's see what piece they go through.
Right. Watch this. Very funny.
The following exercise has been made for interns, but it can help anyone who goes by, hey, you. First, find a comfortable position on the bed without waking all the other interns in the room. Your travel budget was tight, and the boss totally needed that first class flight. As you relax, remember that you are strong. You are independent. You are capable of more than running the office TikTok account. You're an adult, legally. And as soon as you figure out exactly what it is you do, you're gonna do it. And you're gonna hashtag slay fam. Have faith that management knows who you are and even values you sometimes. Sure,
sometimes
they may call you Sam, but that's a special nickname just for you. And all the other interns who are also not Sam. Believe that you are a fierce, capable, necessary employee. Just last year, you were promoted to senior intern. Amazing. So you're going to be full-time any moment now. Fingers crossed. So relax. They don't pay you to worry. In fact, now that you think of it, they don't pay you at all. At all. If nothing else, at least you're not that idiot from procurement. What even is that? Anyway, remember, feeling stressed is like an annual bonus. It simply doesn't apply to you. Don't worry about it. Just go to sleep. Good night, Sam, or whatever your name is. Now, shh. Thank you for listening to Bedtime Stories for Business People.
Isn't that cool?
Life can be hard, so check into Easy with City Lodge Hotels.
So I think that's really cool because often you'll be in, you've done thousands of business trips, I'm sure, and you sit in some hotel somewhere in the world and you just can't get to sleep and you've got stuff to do the next morning. We already know you struggle with sleep. And then these bedtime stories, which they turned into ads. I think it's very, very clever.
I love that line. Feeling stressed doesn't, like an annual bonus doesn't apply to you.
And who doesn't know that feeling? Are you allowed to have interns now?
I mean, yes.
But you have to pay them.
Yeah.
You can't have unpaid
Wait,
interns.
Wait, there was a like, time where they were like unpaid?
Oh, yeah, in our day. No, again. Oh, yes.
I was paid as an intern.
No.
No, you weren't.
No, I was.
You must have been. I wasn't.
No, I was.
All right. Well, I do like it. And then they've got one for a boss, and they've got one for a middle manager, and they're all very funny. So I think
send me the link. I think
it's very cool. There's a whole site with them on. So well done to whoever came up with that. Okay, so a few things in the news that we wanted us to look at. And I mentioned this one earlier because Simpiwe is obviously freaked out by the fact that you can get a pig kidney, but it's a thing. And it's not bad news, Simpiwe. It's actually very good news because if you get a pig kidney, you will live, as opposed to not getting a pig kidney and then not making it. So the first man to receive a genetically modified kidney transplant from a pig has been discharged from hospital. 62-year-old Rick Slayman was sent home on Wednesday, 2 weeks after the groundbreaking surgery at Massachusetts General Hospital. Organ transplants from genetically modified pigs have failed in the past, but the success of this procedure so far has been hailed by scientists as a milestone. So there it is. And this is the first pig kidney transplanted into a human.
I've watched enough Grey's Anatomy to know that I don't know if it's successful just as yet.
Oh, you mean you're going to wait and the jury's out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This guy's sending in a walk 5 meters in his house in about 3 weeks' time and just...
Yeah, you know, that also happens. What? That's a real thing.
What, is it going to grow a tail?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's about right.
So I suppose, you know, the interesting thing around that and the controversial thing will be around, you know, animal, how we treat animals and whatever, that we mm-hmm. grow them just for, you know, yeah. for human sustainability. But I suppose, you know, and the other side of that coin is that, you know, we've got, you know, we've already got an overpopulated planet, so should we actually be thinking about sustaining even more human life when the yeah. planet is struggling with the humans that are?
And of course, this brings up the other issue that there are places in the world where you can buy black market kidneys of people.
Mm-hmm.
So there are already people fulfilling this role. So before we start dealing with the animals' rights, maybe we should look at those people. They're people being harvested, man. Let's not pretend this doesn't happen.
No, it's been, you know, if I'm down and out, I might just sell a kidney, you know, well, and make some good money.
Yeah, of course. There's no reason you have two. It's just so you can...
One's a spare. It's like a spare wheel in the car.
Make some fast money if you need to. When evolution blessed you with two kidneys, it was like, I want them to be able to use this extra kidney to buy a TV. That's why you have it.
It's terrible.
Mm-mm. No,
Black
Friday like
is coming, Gareth. We need money, so.
Black Friday is in November. You can't already be thinking. Listen, Sipiwe does this thing every year on her birthday, and I asked her about it on Tuesday. She puts out a list, and then she expects people to shop for her birthday. Just random people, friends, family.
I don't like how you're phrasing that,
It does
Gareth.
Sound like that. That's
no,
how it is.
No, let's
you
adjust
did it this
that.
Year.
Wait, let's just adjust that just, all right, just go a on. Bit. It's a birthday list, right? People mm-hmm. like to buy you presents when it's your birthday, and I like to assist them by drafting a list of what I would like. You
so
know?
It's like a suggestion list.
Yeah.
Dunk
like off. What do they call those things? A wish list, Amazon wish list.
Yes, yeah. You see? So I make the process much more easier for you, and you're like, oh, I want to get you a gift, and I don't know what to get you. Boom shaka boom, here you go. I've done all the hard work for you.
Because for me,
and
the
what
biggest
sort
problem.
Of budget are you working
oh,
on?
Oh, yeah, this is where it gets interesting. You know. Yeah.
It varies, right? there is some expensive items,
right?
And then there are much more cheaper items on there.
What's the cheapest item on there, just out of interest?
Maybe a spa date.
That was cheap.
Like, that was like the cheapest on the list.
Aren't they like a grand or something?
Depending on where you go. And watch your book.
And that's cheap.
That's the cheap one. You see what I mean? It's basically a grift.
I'm telling you, like the most expensive items that
What's
were on
that?
There. A new laptop, a new phone, tires.
Imagine being the friend or boyfriend or relative who looks at Simpiwe's list and goes, I want to really treat this woman. I'm going to buy her tires.
I'd love you forever. Like, do you know how expensive tires are? Can I tell you? So I had to service my car about a week ago. Uh-huh. And my motor plan is coming to an end.
Oh.
They had told me that. And in Jan, they told me it's going to cost about $25,000 just to extend it for 1 year. And I was like, whew, wasn't ready. When I come back in March, I'm like, you know what? Now I'm ready. Let's talk. I can... You know, they're like, oh, no, my darling, it's gone up. Now it's 36,000 rand.
So here's a tip. You don't need to extend your motor plan.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a man who knows cars and okay. who knows finance. So go
okay.
on. You've got free advice from Benedict Macher, unsolicited.
I need it.
Free advice. And this does not constitute free financial advice to those who are listening right now. We're just going to talk in some few words.
So there's no, you know, financial service provider, blah, right? Get a decent warranty.
Okay.
So like a warranty will cover you when the big ticket items go, like engine, gearbox, suspension, you know. So you pay for your own service, but you get a decent warranty. I mean, there's like Hola, there's AA. You can just do like a general sort of a shop for a decent warranty. And then you can carry on driving your car for another 3, 4, 5 years.
So not so much driving car or financial advice here, but like fatherly advice.
That's what I needed.
That counts for.
Because I almost fainted when I heard that 36,000 and I was like, Should have put that on my birthday list.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if you've got the cash, then mm-hmm. it makes sense. Because I think like motor plans were one of the most interesting inventions in car history, if I can say that, where you've got absolute peace of mind that they will take care of service and anything that kind of breaks mm-hmm. as a result of the repairs or if, consequence of will be covered. So it's like a good insurance policy. But, there are affordability challenges. And I think in the current world that we live in, not everyone is able to afford to buy a new car.
No, for sure.
Or to extend the motor plan. I mean, 36K is not... Yeah,
no, that's not small. Nobody has that lying around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but there are alternatives that you can look at.
So a few comments here on the list, Simpiwe. Carl says, I cannot believe it's already time for SimCard's pretentious list already. So yes, this is an annual thing that we do with Simpiwe. Also, somebody said, when you need an emergency pig kidney, do you have to ride in a ambulance? Jesus. People are fire this morning.
Good grief. It's just 6:30.
Yeah, I know. And they wake up early and they got lots to say. What damn car is Sims driving, says Don. I extended my warranty for 2 years and service plan for 3 years. It cost me 25K on a Pajero Sport.
Oh, okay. So, Maybe it's a German car. I have a beautiful German car, so maybe that's why.
Ka-ching.
Maybe that's why it's a bit more expensive. Yeah,
those of you who thought that Simpiwe was driving around in a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine, you are wrong.
Oh, no.
That's not the case.
There's a reason
all.
Why I have expensive tastes.
There's a reason she needs everybody else to fulfill her wish list. That's why. She's not messing around. All right, so a couple of things I found on the internet that I thought was interesting. This is a list of things that people regard as red flags, and I'll get to them in just a...
Like in terms of a relationship, I'm ready to kind of...
Are you ready for that?
Yeah, because I'd like to also offload my own red flags.
Okay, well, we'll get to those. But first things first, let us take a look at some of the sport. And of course, every week we get to check in on sport. We get to check in on the odds. We get to see what's happening in regard to all the stuff that you could place bets on, because that's what we do. So here he is, along with Superbets, Ben Karpinski, live from Cape Town this morning. Morning, Ben. How are you?
Hey, everybody. How's it going? It's been good. So long.
I know. You were away last weekend, and we've had holidays and... God alone knows what. So let's catch up. Let's see what's happening. So this is brought to you by Superbets. What do we got going on sports-wise?
Yeah, sorry, I kind of missed you there. Must be the Cape Town wind. Yes, it is pumping down here, which means obviously it's raining up at Highveld level, right?
Something like that. It's in Cape Town, this is where it starts getting really horrible. From now until August, right?
It is. And this is maybe why I don't want to move back ever, because like this is a great time to be at home. But it's dark, guys, so please forgive me that I'm just sort of in this bed area. I'm staying with my brother again. I'm here until Sunday, and then tomorrow I'm playing really competitive golf with some old geezers, which I'm quite nervous about, because I'm going to be in this wind. And wow, that's pretty much my weekend at the moment.
All right, so what do we got sports-wise?
So, guys, we've got one of those weekends where there's stuff on the go, but next weekend is the big weekend. Next weekend is the Masters. Next weekend is UFC 300. So I just want you to know that if you're underwhelmed by what I'm about to tell you, next week we're hitting things so hard. And I'll be in studio next week as well, so it'll be an extra special report. But either way, we do have rugby in a very interesting sense this weekend, because the Investec Champions Cup is back. So we're in the round of 16, so all the teams have done pretty well in the group stages and the sort of fragmented tournament. We're now round of 16, so this is the real business end, which means for our two best teams in South Africa, the Bulls and the Stormers are back in action. So tomorrow, Bulls versus Leon at 1:30. Now, the Bulls just took a massive trousering to Leinster in the URC, which is a bit of a wake-up call because, as you know, the Irish teams are pretty much the best. And the Bulls and the Stormers have to contest against them at all levels. So last week was a real wake-up call for Jake White and his team. I would expect them to bounce back at home against Leon. And then the Stormers will also be at home. They'll be taking on La Rochelle. And that'll be at 4 o'clock here at the Cape Town Stadium. There are a host of other matches. You know, it depends how much you like Scottish or French or English rugby. But from here, the quarters will take place next weekend. The semis will be the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May, and the final will be the 25th of May. The interesting thing about this final is they're going to be playing at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is a real big deal for rugby when you think about it, that they can have such a huge capacity, and it will be. It'll be an absolute sellout, and hopefully the Bulls or the Stormers can somehow be amazing in the next 3 rounds to get there. But call me slightly pessimistic, I don't think it's going to happen. I just think when it comes to this level of tournament and the demands for our teams to be European-based and here, I know it's the same time zone, but it's a big stretch on some of the squads. So I don't think, well, I wouldn't be so gung-ho on putting my money on them going to the top of this. There's also Hong Kong Sevens this weekend, which, well, Hong Kong Sevens, it is a massive draw. Obviously, being in Hong Kong, so it'll be in the future. So you wake up really early to see the games. And look at the South African team. Well, they won the first Sevens event of the year in Dubai, and then they've been absolutely useless ever since, but like terrible. Not like losing in the semis or an unlucky final or whatever, like it has been in the past. They have been horrible. So Argentina are the front runners there. They're the top of the log right now. But Ireland also doing particularly well in Sevens, which is really odd because those Northern Hemisphere teams weren't quite as flash as, say, Fiji, SA, Australia, or New Zealand. France also doing really well. They won the last one, so they'll be under kind of like, it's hard to call them underdogs because it's Sevens. There are so many underdogs running around this thing. It's so unpredictable. That's what makes it so exciting. So that'll be this weekend. SAR in Pool C with Samoa, Ireland, and Spain. So it's pretty tough. Getting out of that one will be an achievement because, as I said, this team is currently ranked 7th. The URC, as we know, is back on the 19th of April. So if you are missing that, that's just okay. In the football, it was a fantastic week for the Premier League because all the big teams have already played. Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, they all had midweek wins, and they're back at it this weekend for your viewing pleasure. It's match day 32 of 38, so we are getting down to that final stretch here as well. So Liverpool still on top, followed by Arsenal and Man City. They'll all be in action this weekend. Man City are away to Crystal Palace at 1:30 on Saturday. Aston Villa will take on Brentford at 4, Fulham versus Newcastle at 4, and Brighton versus Arsenal at 6:30. So none of the top three can slip up from here. I think if one of them lose, they're out of the race. It is just so cutthroat and so competitive at the top right now. Sunday, we'll see Man United hosting Liverpool at 4:30, and the Spurs will take on Nottingham Forest. And locally, have Sundowns lost yet? No, they are still unbeaten. They are 11 points clear with 2 games in hand over the nearest rival, Stellenbosch, who have also been pretty damn impressive of late. So that is your football needs for the weekend. Cricket, we've got IPL. Now, if you do like gambling, if you do like betting, if you do like playing, well, the Indian cricket gods came together to give you this tournament where there is so much on the go. So we currently are pretty early in the tournament, and the Kolkata Knight Riders and the Rajasthan Royals, they're only unbeaten teams. They've gone 3-for-3. Mm-hmm. So this weekend, you'll see 8 of the teams in action. There's 4 games. I know St. Pewee like the Sunrisers Hyderabad, so they'll take on the Chennai Super Kings.
Right, St. Pewee, that's today. Your team.
That's her team. She's a Hyderabadian. Saturday, Rajasthan Royals versus Royal Challengers Bangalore at 4. And then Sunday, we've got the Mumbai Indians versus the Delhi Capitals. Mumbai Indians are bottom of the table, so maybe at home, this is the game to back them on. That game will be at 12. And then the Lucknow Super Giants will take on the Gujarat Titans.
You're making all these names up. Like, aren't you making these up?
I mean, Lucknow Super Giants.
Benedict, have you ever heard of these in your life?
So I haven't heard a single thing that Ben's been saying because I haven't heard any reference to Formula One. So it's kind of been blah, blah, blah.
Benedict only cares about Formula One.
Who is this impatient man who thinks that I must structure my sport differently? Yeah, Benedict, we got the Formula One this week in Japan. Now, last week was
yes.
Not because it was maybe the best race, but interesting because Verstappen didn't win. He had brake failure. Didn't win, and the Ferraris, well, they had a bit of a run. But this time last year, Japan was where Verstappen basically closed the door and then started always winning. So he's obviously the major favorite again, and you would think that Perez is going to be in the 1-2. But I think at some stage, Ferrari has to just step up into what they should be. So the win last time out in Australia, I mean, look, when it comes to these contender cars, there's going to be some sort of fuck up. There'll be a gear problem or engine failure. And that's what Ferrari are just so good at. They're kind of like the Proteus, and they build all this hope. And then you think, you know what? They just had a win. maybe Leclerc, maybe Sainz, they can do this. And then Verstappen will just basically keep winning. So I hope that I'm completely wrong there. And last week could have seen a bit of a turnaround, a bit of a balance in the mix here. So Japanese Grand Prix, of course, just like Hong Kong, Japan are in the future. So early, early morning there. And that's pretty much it for your big sporting highlights. I mean, there is golf this weekend.
Well, I want to hear what I want to hear what Ben wants to add into the Benedict Macher wants to add into the Formula One stuff.
So Ben, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Ferrari got rid of the wrong driver? So just for context, next year Carlos Sainz, who's the driver who's delivered the victory for Ferrari last week, kind of lost his contract and will be replaced by Lewis Hamilton. Should they have gotten rid of Charles Leclerc?
Well, see, Benedict, I think you just kind of proved my point of Ferrari. They will make a bad decision, or they'll almost self-sabotage just out of nowhere. I think it's very odd. And this is a bit of a side tangent, I'll go on here. It's very odd that they love Charles Leclerc so much. I get young talent, but you know, he was given a 5-year contract. Schumacher didn't even get that.
Yeah.
These Oaks had so much blind faith that Leclerc was going to be the best guy. But Sainz, I think, he's your ultimate teammate. And I think it's about having the two strongest the whole time, because that's what you want in the sport. I absolutely think they got rid of him. And I think they were just chasing headlines with Hamilton. Hamilton's an absolute F1 god, but I don't think he's great for that team right now, because they've got a good dynamic with those two.
Yeah, my understanding, interesting that, you know, when the announcement came through, Ferrari's share price increased by something like 7.5%. So I suspect that it's more than just, they're not just buying a driver, because a driver, you can, you know, they're a dime a dozen. They're probably buying a sort of a brand ambassador to get the Ferrari brand, particularly in kind of the non-traditional markets where the big money is, not sort of the Europe and Americas, but, you know, Middle East, Africa, et cetera, et cetera. So they're probably investing long term in a brand building exercise as opposed to a driver.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you've got two handsome men with great hair, and then, you know, maybe that isn't how they want to position themselves. And ultimately, like, you hit the nail on the head there. Look at the share price. All of the stuff is strategic, and ultimately all of these cars are money makers. You know, Formula One is one big marketing exercise, and if you can own the Hamilton story, basically be the last guy to basically have them in a car, then yeah. So I would say racing wise no, business wise yes, on the right driver thing.
So, Tabo Pali says in the comments, Charles is the future, but Sainz is definitely a mistake. So there's some very direct opinions at you.
Tabo, you're so right. But, I mean, it's so easy to call someone the future. And I just think that Leclerc maybe needs to step up a bit. But at the same time, Ferrari have messed up his races here and there. So,
well, Ben,
you can't even be mad at that.
This goes down as the first time we've ever spoken about Formula One for more than about 5 seconds on the show. So thank you, Benedict. You've already improved things.
Cool. Oh,
thanks, Ben. And also, if someone ever says, you know, the share price has increased by 7%, you know that this guy's got research on
He's
hand.
Done the work.
Yeah, so guys, I mean, that's pretty much it for the sporting weekend. As I said, the Masters is next week. It's going to be so huge this year. I think if you're watching Full Swing on Netflix, you'll get a good understanding of why the Masters this year is going to be so huge. Season 2 is just finished and it's available on Netflix. And then UFC 300. Oh, there's so much UFC to catch on next week as well, because it looks like Dricus' first title defense is going to be exactly where he wants it, in Perth.
Ben, no one wants to be in Perth. Ben, just quickly, this tournament that you're playing with old geezers, is there anything that we need to know about that?
No, it's not a tournament this time around. It's a money hustle in the wind. And the thing is, when you play these old geezers and you play them at their home course, you know that movie White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. You know, you feel like this is a fun kind of thing, but ultimately they're going to hustle. And these old geezers too,
who are these people? Are these people just what are they, just local residents that go to their home club and play against some strangers from out of town?
So my best friend moved to Cape Town 2 years ago, I think it is now, and his home course, where he was a club champion growing up, is where we're playing tomorrow. And so he's now got this new group of grizzly old geezers for mates, and so I'm playing with him against these two. Okay. But the last time I played down there in the wind, I had like my worst round in about 15 years. So I've got a lot to avenge. And I've already been giving them a bit of shit in the WhatsApp group because that's how golf actually works.
Yeah, it's the WhatsApp group.
You just rock up and tee a white ball up. It's the WhatsApp group during the week. It's baiting people into seeing what their characters like so that you know when it comes down to the 15th, 16th, 17th hole, you know what buttons you can press if the game gets a bit squirrely from there.
Okay, so it's a psychological game as much as it is golf. There we are, as usual.
Well, it's also just guys being guys. So, you know, abusing each other horrendously for our own entertainment.
Do you play, Gareth?
No, I don't play. I would never.
Never, ever.
No. Ben knows this.
I've had four rounds of golf in my life.
Four? Mm. Okay, well, then you've done better than me.
Yeah, the first one was not bad. I think I shot 104, 106.
Okay.
And then it got...
first one?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then I think the next one was like 112 and then 118.
So it got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, then I stopped.
Okay.
Have you tried paddle?
No.
Oh, okay.
I play tennis.
Oh, okay.
You play tennis?
Yeah. Ooh.
That's good.
All right. Well, that's the real thing. I mean, paddle is like... what's so funny, I was talking to someone the other day, and I still haven't played a game of paddle. I know you have, Ben, right? You got into it for a while.
I was like, yeah, he was into it once upon a time.
You didn't buy equipment, though, did you?
Of course.
Oh, you did.
Okay. Guys, I mean, if you're going to play a sport, play a sport. Don't stand there like, oh, I'm not really into this kind of thing. I've got my own equipment.
I'm very glad, and I'm sure Benedict feels the same way, that I never went and wasted money on golf, for example, because I was never going to be a player like you. But for people who are into, I mean, I heard about cyclists the other day. You're not one of those, are you, Ben?
No.
So these bikes
cost an absolute fortune. You can buy a car for the price of a bike.
You do, and sometimes these people have to finance their bikes.
Yeah, it's bikes plural.
Why are we financing bikes? Like a bicycle tool, you busy shopping there.
Financing bicycles.
Why
I kid you
financing?
Not.
Guys,
I can confirm.
What's so special about it?
I'm
in my brother's spare bedroom right now, and he's got a bike here.
Right, there it is. Look at that.
He's actually got two. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here when I say these two bikes combined are close to what my car is valued at.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have a terrible car, and these bikes is just. But he loves it. You know, that's his thing. He gets on there and he feels like, I don't know, insert pro cyclist name here.
I mean, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100K for a bike.
Yeah. I think one day we must do a show, Ben, on like the most expensive sports from an equipment point of view. And they always used to say running was running's the safest because Formula One will win. But running used to be the thing anyone could do because all you needed was a pair of sneakers. But even those now.
Those are ridiculous.
For the serious runners, yeah.
Oh, those are like a couple of thousands.
Mm. So we'll have to get into this. All right, thanks,
well,
Ben.
I think. Wait, hang on a second. I think for that, we need a parent to come in because these poor people, I'm not saying poor as in financially, these poor people have to actually stump up all this money. So a kid goes, I want to play cricket. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, if I said that back in the day to my parents, they'll be like, okay, cool, go to school. And you're like, you share the same box. You have like one pad on your left leg. You have a bat that just looks like half a tree. Now, with health, safety, and everyone's precious, you've got to buy the kid a helmet. Arm guard.
Yeah.
Their own box.
I've seen this happen with my nephews. Suddenly, you know, they take a mild interest in X sport, and then by the next week, they've got all the equipment.
Yeah, and then they're interested for about 3.5 seconds.
And then they move on, exactly. And then all this expensive stuff is stuck.
It's the strangest thing seeing 8-year-olds wearing a helmet. Which 8-year-old in the world can bowl a bouncer? Show me. Show me this kid. Wear a hat and carry on, man.
Yeah, that's right. In our day, again, Ben and I were talking about how as long as you were home before it was dark, it was fine. And sport wasn't this safe, careful, considered thing. It was like war. It was war.
It's how you tested yourself.
Right. Okay, Ben, well, listen, enjoy Cape Town. I hope it doesn't go too badly with all these old people you're playing golf with. And we will see you next week.
All right, guys, look forward to it.
Very good. Bye. That's Ben Karpinski and a little bit of Beyond the Scoreboard. The Superbets, of course, supports responsible gambling, strictly no under 18s. Winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counselling hotline is 0800-006-008. So, you never bought any of this expensive sporting equipment. I think we really should do a show on this one day.
I think the most expensive thing I've ever bought was when I was still in high school and I used to play hockey. So you had to get shin pads, the actual stick, gum guards. Yeah.
Gum guards?
Yeah. Jeez, oh, have you not? Yes, that hockey ball.
If a hockey ball hits you in the mouth, you are finished.
Yeah.
Just keep your mouth out of the way.
No.
How? You know, you
so
can't.
So I played hockey, right, in high school. And the first position that I played was goalkeeper.
Oh, you guys are like this, just
and
padded to the hilt. Ooh. Yeah,
and there was one match where, you know, the ball was coming in the direction of my head, and I realized that I wasn't going to get the hockey stick or the glove in the way in time. So the only way was to move my head sideways.
And scored.
I moved my head sideways, and they scored. And of course, my teammates had a lot to say. And then I told them, well, that was the last time that you had me as a goalkeeper. Find a new one.
I agree with you. Self-preservation first.
No, not no. In the team sports.
No, but this, this is why I don't play team sports, because I would never sacrifice my brains.
That's why you all guarded up, okay?
No, it's okay.
Although that is one of the most safe places to be, is the goalkeeper in hockey. You really do have a lot of padding.
Yeah,
but
again, in those days there wasn't, I mean, there was like the shin pads and the
yeah, you didn't.
I can't remember whether you had a chest pad.
No, I'm sure you didn't.
So that was a different time.
Did you have a helmet?
Time.
You had a helmet?
There might have been a helmet, but I don't think the face. Yeah.
So you would have looked like the Elephant Man if that thing had hit you in the face.
Okay, context is important. Now I understand. Because I was thinking in my time where, like, the goalkeeper was like, they couldn't move. They had like the helmet that covered their like face. They had like all these paddings on the arms and the legs with the chest thing. And like you could literally only do one step to the right, one step to the left, and that was it. So I was like, if you got it like that, just of course.
Take but one now, for the team.
That's your job. You had one job to do.
So listen, you've done a thing here. You've pulled a massive number on us, Ben, because now suddenly people are talking Formula One in the comments. So you've awoken the dragon.
Excellent.
Ricky says, I think, and I want your comment on these things because I have nothing to add. I think Verstappen is going to dominate for a long time. If someone builds a better car than Red Bull, Verstappen will probably still be in demand by the fastest team. You agree with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been an interesting issue within the Red Bull team. There were allegations against Christian Horner, who's the team principal.
Yeah, I saw that.
About, you know, a female employee.
Getting handsy.
We don't know the story, right? But what we do know is that there were allegations. And as a result of that, there's been a little bit of a destabilization in the team. And there were, you know, speculation around whether Verstappen will in fact stay at Red Bull or leave elsewhere. The problem with that is that where does he go to? Because he's in the best car and the best team, and he's currently the best driver. So, you know, and that's kind of where he will stay for a while. Unless the team stops performing, then obviously the driver market will be very, you know, anyone with any decent car will want to buy him.
Sanele says, Carlos Sainz is like that ex that stops cheating right after you break up. Fair. Very, very good. And then there's some other comments here about Formula One that we have to get to. So Ricky also says, Red Bull's using their own powertrains from 2026 with consultation with Ford, which is a massive risk. They're competing with people who've built engines for years.
Yep.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Ford has kind of been very vocal about this allegations against Christian Horner. It's kind of almost pushing the team to comment on this particular matter. And they're not even the engine supplier yet. It's only coming in 2026. So they're certainly flexing their muscle. I suppose it's about their brand, protecting their brand. We were talking about reputation management earlier on.
Sure.
So, you know, do you...
Would that be a job you would like to do one day?
What's that?
Like after these, because you've now done this corporate communication stuff for MultiChoice, SAB, ABSA now is the one that you're busy with. But I mean, wouldn't that be the dream job for you to do Formula One and do all their comms?
Yeah.
It's like a combination of your worlds.
Did you see his face? He lit up. He's like, yeah.
I have to say, Simpiwe, this is the most we've ever spoken about Formula One. Here's another one from Ted. Ted says, I suspect Verstappen will go to Mercedes sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And they, as a factory team, have a better chance of being ready for the new engine regulations in 2026. Yes, no?
No. I think the Mercedes car right now is like my golf. It's kind of getting progressively worse.
Don't say that.
So, look, I think they've missed a step. You know, you've got other teams that are doing better than them. Ferrari has certainly stepped up their game as a main challenger for Red Bull, and Merck is nowhere. I can't see. I mean, they've got the resources. You know, they are a fully fledged factory team, but they're not delivering on. It's not a team that I think anyone serious would wanna think
about.
So,
who are you rooting for?
So it's always very complex.
No. Come on. If you ask most football fans who you're supporting, they're like, God, oh, this team, and you say like, why, and they're like, I always
Arsenal.
Have.
Yeah. Ooh, they don't and then give they you tell a, you the history, and they're like, they're
don't do a Benedict, one of the, yeah, don't do no. a Benedict Macha on us here and complicate something simple.
But you see, like, the reason that our sport is different is that you couldn't have, for example, a Man United supporter saying that they support Man United, but the striker from Leeds. For example, right? That doesn't work in football. Well, in F1, it can. I'm a big Lewis Hamilton fan, but Team Ferrari.
All right.
So okay. He will go,
all this nuance.
From next year onwards, it's like the perfect team.
Jason wants to know, will Vettel come out of retirement to help Mercedes?
No, I don't think so. There have been kind of rumors and speculation. He was quoted a couple of days ago, weeks ago, saying that, you know, he's in a very different phase in his life. He's spending a lot more time as a father, and that kind of, you know, is his priority, and to go back to racing, because it's very glamorous, but it's a hard life.
You're sure.
24 weekends in the year, you're away from
all the champagne and hookers, and I mean, it's just a terrible life. Don't give me that.
Driving the best cars, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really, we must now feel sorry for them. Please. All right, so our guest, in case you haven't picked up, is Benedict Macha. He's an old friend of mine. I don't mean that in any disrespectful way, Ben, but we're old. And he started off at 7:02 with me, saw him the other night and said to the producers, we have to get this man in here and chat to him and catch up and all that stuff. So that's what we've been doing this morning. Also checked in on some sport with Ben, and Simpiwe's got some things that she still wants to get off her chest. Plus, Dr. Victor is coming to join us in a little bit, someone who I also have all the time in the world for. Such a talent, such an incredible guy, and such a good solid South African who's added such wonderful things to the tapestry of this country. So all of that and more on the way. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. This is The Real Network on a Friday morning. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're off to an awesome start today. And if you're not yet, we'll make it so.